92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley is here as we go around the yard. We get ready for a Philly series that we need to win. But before we get to that, Grant, let's talk about the good of the weekend. And the good was Ronald Acuña. Man, he looked great. First player, by the way, to hit a home run after missing 150 games or more to lead off with a home run. What can you say about Ronald's return? Because that was certainly the good.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And I found that stat to be fascinating because there are sometimes, even as a baseball person, I look at something and I read it and I'm like, okay. And I read it again and I'm like, huh. And I read it a third time and I'm like, who comes up with this stuff? But no, it's a great thing to see. And it certainly was high drama and great cinema and all those things. And just the validation or reminder that Ronald Acuña Jr. can change a game, impact a game with one swing. That's what he does. That's who he is. And that's what the Braves need right now. So that was definitely the good of the weekend against the Padres. I thought the starting pitching was good as well. Obviously, there were some bullpen problems. And outside of Ronald Acuña Jr. for two out of those 3 days, there were some offensive problems as well. So it's just putting all of the different facets of the game together that the Braves have struggled with at times this year. Obviously, we know they're better than the team from the first week. It's starting to feel further and further and further away. But then you get through a week like this one where you drop a couple against the Nationals that you feel like you should have won at least one of those. And then the series against the Padres, not only was it winnable, it was sweepable. And the Braves just weren't able to get the hits they needed, score the runs they needed, and as the case may be, keep the Padres at bay.
I know that we've gone over this before, but I'll ask you again. It looks like Iglesias has lost it. You know, I mean, when guys are on base with errors or India, sometimes the stats don't tell you the entire story, but he just gives up too many big flies. It just seems like he's just not a guy you can trust right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big problem is the home run, and that's a huge problem to have when you're the person in charge of the last three outs with the slimmest of margins. I talked about this on From the Diamond, and I feel like it's one of the stats that really underscores the Braves season this year. They have played the most one-run games in baseball by a fairly good margin. It's either four or five games. They have played 22 one-run games to this point. They are 9-13 in those one-run games. Iglesias has four losses this year. He's blown three saves. Clearly, we can do the math and feel like, you know, where that would have fit in the kinds of games he's supposed to be pitching in. So it doesn't add up to the most calming influence, if you will, in the ninth inning. But I think that their options are limited when it comes to switching those duties over. I did ask Brian Snitker point blank about this in the recent homestand. I mean, how do you bring somebody along with this and what effect does it have on basically every other bullpen decision you make? Because, Mike, if you don't trust him in the ninth,
right,
can you trust him in the eighth inning? Can you trust him in the seventh? Like, he's just got to make the adjustments and to bring it home to something he can actually fix. He can stop hanging sliders. That's his big issue. He's given up seven homers this year. Five of them are on the slider. His slider has been put in play, I believe, nine times this year. Seven of those times it's been a hit. Five of them have gone over the wall. That seems to be the problem pitch for him. And Snit basically said that's got to be adjusted. Clearly that's an issue. He throws four pitches, and his sinker, his changeup, are great pitches for him in addition to a four-seam fastball. So if he wants to stay away from that pitch for a while, at least until he gets more comfortable with it, I think that's a pretty obvious and quick fix for him to maybe start to get some scoreless appearances, some confidence, and also give everybody else the opportunity to take a deep breath in the ninth inning in a one-run game.
What's going on with Austin Riley? Five in his past 15 for Truist. We're talking about eras. It doesn't even sound or feel right for me to be talking about this because this is not who we've become to know or you know, gotten to know as far as Austin Riley and his fielding. What do you think's going on?
No, I mean, sometimes you just kind of go through a rut, I think, fielding the same way you can in the box. I mean, it's the same, I think, general premise there. But obviously, the batted ball can do a lot of different things, and misplays are going to happen. I mean, Austin is not a guy who's, you know, going to make every single play every single time, but he's better than he's been lately. And that, I think, is the big takeaway here. So I don't really think there's anything wrong with him. Now, is there something tricky or wrong about the surface? I'm not 100% sure. I'd want to go with that as the final answer to everything. But as long as Truist Park has been around, I had heard at times different guys saying, you know, we don't like this infield. It's not giving us true hops. And I say this, you know, being opposing teams, not so much the home team. But one thing I had seen and been told and pointed out by a couple of different people was, how the ball hits the grass and moves in the outfield once it gets down. That's a little bit unnatural from how it is in other ballparks on other types of grass, I guess. I'm not an expert on the turf. I'm not going to pretend to play one on the radio or TV. But I do think that, you know, Austin is better than these plays would indicate here lately, and I think he's going to have better days ahead. But as far as the comments about the grounds crew or the grounds themselves, I would tend to abstain from that because everybody's having to play on the same field. So you just kind of have to take what you're given sometimes. And unfortunately for him, it may have just been given a few bad hops lately.
What's up with Money Harris? I mean, he's batting 207 for the month of May. We know the fielding is, again, if you get into the wins above replacement, the fielding does compensate. But Grant, I'm just looking at the numbers, 3 doubles for the entire month. You know, I mean, I know the stolen base, that's really not his thing, but it's just like, is he just going to be a 225 hitter? Because that's not the guy you give the contract to.
No, and I don't think that he is fully a 225 hitter, but we have seen over the last at least 3 seasons, if you want to go ahead and lump this one in, a guy who's starting very slowly and then heating up as the weather does and having a better second half. He did it in the final couple of months last year. He did it in the final 3+ months of 2023. Obviously, his rookie season was a different story, but no, the guy that you're seeing right now is not the output that they were hoping from the guy they gave the contract to. But, you know, I think it comes down to really swing decisions for him, plate discipline, a lot of things that I see from him, maybe an over-aggressiveness at times. And those are things you can adjust, but it can be challenging to get that job done. So as far as what's going on with him, I think maybe it's just a little bit of over-aggressiveness that's kind of compounding the issues that are going on. But the swing choices, not getting outside of the zone as much as he has at times this year, I think would help out. Just getting more dialed in. That seems to be really what he's working on, what he's trying to get to. It just hasn't happened yet.
Grant McCauley, we're going around the yard. Braves and Phillies tonight start a 3-game series. Let's talk about these pitching matchups. It's going to be pretty good matchups. I mean, Suarez, Strider, Smith, Sharver, Wheeler. I mean, they've got some really good pitchers they're throwing, ironically, you know, for this series. Wheeler, though, has been on another level. What do we expect to get from the guys that we're throwing out there and Strider specifically tonight?
Well, I know what we need to see from Spencer Strider, and that, of course, is a start that makes him feel a little bit more like himself again. That's been an issue for him. Obviously, you know what you can expect out of Chris Sale, and hopefully he's able to do that in the as well. And it's going to be a big test for A.J. Smith-Shawver as well. But specifically for Spencer Strider, I think it's just going to be about establishing that strike zone. He's had a little bit of wildness. I mean, when I looked at that start this last time out, he pretty much filled up every column, and that is not really the goal when you go out there. You'd like to keep as few hits in that column and keep the ball in the yard, limit the walks, and pile up the strikeouts. But it was wild pitches, errors, you know, just bad plays and things that hit batsmen, stuff that, you know, was not helping him out. So I think, you know, maybe in hindsight, after a month of having to work his way back, maybe a rehab start would have been in order, just given everything else from the previous 12 months of trying to get him back and, you know, not skipping that step. But that's all hindsight now. Hopefully he's knocked the rust off in the last start, and he'll feel a little bit more like himself now with at least one under his belt since coming off the IL.
Grant, we were talking about this earlier. We took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies back in April, but it just seems like, you know, I don't know if they're going to put extra pressure on themselves, but, you know, you could come out of this thing being 11 games back if you don't watch it.
Yeah, you could. And that is some math that you don't want to be having to do while you're out trying to get the job done. But it is the reality of their situation. So I think for the Braves, you look at back when they took that 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, Atlanta had struggled mightily out of the gate there. That was, I believe, the Braves' first series win of the year. Phillies lately, though, have been on a heater. They've been one of the best clubs, if not the best record in baseball over the last 3+ weeks, have a nice long winning streak that they've carried to get them to the top of the National League East standings as the Mets have kind of faded back down. But there's a lot of baseball left to be played. That being said, you've got 10 more head-to-head matchups with the Braves and the Phillies this year. If you want to take a bite out of an 8.5-game lead that the Phillies hold or want to avoid turning it into an 11-game deficit, you got to keep winning these series and taking advantage of these head-to-head opportunities.
No doubt. Grant, thank you so much. We'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully we can handle business. Should be a great series here up there in Philly. Grant McCauley, thanks again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, man, good stuff from him. More to get to, including what Kirby Smart is saying he, along with other SEC coaches, want. They are having the annual spring meetings down in Florida. We'll tell you about that coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.